let's continue where we stopped last week, 2 weeks ago. Right, so we went and we saw that there is the pairs of numbers, which we're going to continue dealing with them today. We spoke about that there is always this concept of the three, which is Chesed, Din, and Tiferes, which means the concept of expansion, growth, the yin-yang, right? That is the right, and then you have the expansion, Chesed, and you have Din, which is contraction, limiting, and you have the balancing, the harmony. It's called thesis, antithesis, and synthesis. Synthesis number three. And that relates to the powers of the world that God created. And then there is the number four, which is called the female, which always, so in the number four is the concept of developing the potential. That's what we saw 2 times ago. Then the Maharal explained that this is in the world of physical. In the world of physical, you have the world which is all based in number fours, right? That there is three powers and one ability to develop that power, which is connected the Shem Yud Kei Vov, right? Yud, the Hey, and the Vov is connected the number three. And the last Hey is to develop, like Mishneh Torah, right? We always spoke about the concept that you have the Shmois Vayikra and Bamidbar, the three Chumashim, which is connected the three Midrashi Halacha, right? Shmois Vayikra Bamidbar. And the Hey is the ability to develop the potential. It takes and develops the idea. Mishneh Torah takes the idea, repeats, and moves forward. That's the number four. That's what we spoke.
All right.
In the world, yes.
Just to clarify, because oftentimes we talk about the Kutsa Shel Yud as being really the first element and the Torah being the fifth element.
No, we are talking about the Yud Kei Vav Kei because the Yud is above everything else.
Kutsa,
the Kutsa Shel Yud. We won't talk about it. We're talking about the world that was created here, Bereshis, which is Bechokhmasa. The world of creation is the world of four. We'll talk eventually about the number five. First, we're going to pick about the number four in its three dimensions. So the Maharal says there is a second dimension. There is a second world. We know that the worlds, that every single thing is in multiples of three. So you have three worlds. The world of physical, the world of the spiritual, and the world of the metaphysical in between, which the Maharal always calls is the world of the neshama, the world of seichel, the world of the guf, the world of physical. And you have the world of the Malachim. Malachim are those powers that connect the spiritual to the physical. Now, so we spoke about Maharal. The number four is in the world of physical. Says the Maharal, in the world of the metaphysical, the world of Malachim is the number seven. Because it's two sets of three, right? It's the three in its second dimension, which makes it six. And that's the number seven. And what the number seven always does, it connects this physical to the spiritual, is a connecting point. What the Maharal says, the number seven is always the center point of that six-dimensional physical. Always the number seven is connected to the world, to the number six, and the number six is physical. 6 days of the week, you have the seventh. You have 6 months, you have the seventh. Right? Always the seventh is that center point. It's called the Eichal HaKodesh, which means that in the spiritual world, right, what is developing the potential of existence is reconnecting it to the spiritual source. Right? So that's the next level, which is reconnecting to the spiritual source. Now we're going to see today two more dimensions of it. We spoke about the number 10 and the number 13. You realize that in the numbers, if you look at the Chad Miyodea, how many numbers we have. We are a decimal system with 13 numbers, right? It's not by chance, the Echad Miyodea, which is composed by the Rokeach, that ends where? Shloisha Osar, Miyodea, Shloisha Osar, Andia, Shloisha Osar, Vidaya. So the number 13, you're going to see that the numbers have four dimensions, 4, 7, 10, and 13. And you see that they are all doing the exact same thing in spiritual worlds, because they are in essence three cognitive spiritual worlds, and there is a fourth world, which is the world of the higher, which is called what we believe and we see that is the subconscious. It's called the Pintleid. The people know that the Balatanya always mentions the higher, the Pintleid, which is not something cognitive, is something experiential. The Buddha called this the drop of life, but we know that there is a source in the soul which is very, it's the core. You can only feel it in very, very limited instances, because you need, as the meditative practices, is trying to be, it's called this indestructible drop, and it's called in Chazal Dechaya. So they're the four worlds, and we're going to see that they are four dimensions of the number four. Right? So four times four. Always is multiples of that. Okay? So we saw the number one, the number four, the first one is developing the potential. In a deeper sense, developing the potential is connecting to the spiritual source, which is the number seven, which is called the hidden dimension in the world of physical. Clear? And now we're going to do the number 10. So to do the number 10, we are going to go and learn the Maharal. So if you look on page 2, the Derech Chaim is the Maharal in Perek Gimel Mishnei Gimel. That's a Perek Gimel Mishnei Gimel. The Maharal is coming to explain what's the concept of Maaser. We have the idea that we have to give a tenth away. The tenth doesn't belong to us. Why is Maaser? Maaser is Siag Laosher. The Pasuk says, Aser te'aser, aser b'fshil shetisasher. You should give mine, say God to get a shirus. V'hine tam dover ze, ki odom kasher ite moment shelo al Hashem itbarach. He says, why do you give mine, sir, in order to be wealthy? Meaning, what's the quid pro quo that you give mine, sir? It's not giving tzedakah. If you give tzedakah, it doesn't say that you'll be wealthy. It says tzedakah tatzil mimoves. It says if you give Meinser, Meinser is Siag Laosher. Why? So I say, Kashe ite mamon shelo al Hashem itbarach, hide tavo abracham na Hashem itzborach, ela mamon shelo. If you give the money to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you connect the money to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of brocha. So mimela brocha comes to you. Ki hikriv min osher Hashem itzborach, because this is almost like a korban. You did not give it to tzedakah. Meinser, the idea is that you connected it to the source of Rokh. You connect it like a cordon. By giving a miser, you are taking the money to the property, to the reshus, the domain of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Maharal, only the tenth. That's why by halacha, you cannot give misers boimed. You cannot just guesstimate the tenth. You're not allowed to do it. Right? You have to really give precisely a tenth. What is the number 10? What's the significance? You know that in the decimal world that we live, the single numbers, the individual numbers, meaning the numbers which are called in Chazal de Protim, right? The units. It's until it's 9 only. Because the number 10 creates a higher form of unity. It's called eminence, meaning you're taking it to a higher level. The 10 creates an Ada. 10 creates a unit, says the Maharal. How do you see that? Share'ena mispar dosafa dasora. You realize that the numbers in Hebrew, the individual numerals, they have individual names up to the number 9. Up to number 10. Omina asora vela chozer li sipur, echad asar, shnaim asar. If you realize that the decimal number means that you count to 10, and then it's only repetition. 11, 12 is 10 plus 1. In Hebrew, it's 11, 12, 13, right? So in other words, they are additives. You created one unit, so it creates a unit, okay? Hare ki lo itosef ragatzora, veze mipnei kein tosefes ala klal, because 10 creates a unit, and once something is unified, there is no adding to it. That's it. Always the 10 creates a unit, and that's the one. Chazal learned this from a pasuk. Because the number 10 creates the concept of tens, the concept of asoras, the number 10 has this ability to unify. Sheroi legavoa. That's why belongs. It's the tenth. Is the holy number. Why? She is borach kol lakol. Because what Hakadosh Baruch Hu is. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is the unifying power of everything. So if you look at the number 7, what you're doing with the number 7? You are connecting to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. The number 10, you're unifying it. Everything in the reshus of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. That nothing exists on its own. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is everything. By giving the Asorah, you're making HaKadosh Baruch Hu create the cloud, unifying all the units into one idea that's all subsumed by Him. HaKoy Rol Vasir Shemaspira Asorah Shuakol. Okay? V'chashivas HaMizpar Goyrem. And the number 10 is the one that causes that. Ki Asiri Shua Mashlim El HaMizpar or HaMizpar Sheyesh Bakol. The number 10 that creates the tens is the number that has this ability to do so. So the Rishus Asor is the number of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He creates and unites everything. Not that you connect HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but that you are subsumed in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You are in the klal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shuiz Borach Kol Lakol Vehu Hakol. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu becomes everything. You realize that the number 10, always in Halacha, you see always, it's always different than the 9 units. And we're going to see the Maral in a second. It's going to explain. Yoyev Odom Tish Kav Shaloi Mitisha Kadmish Chavir. A person likes one unit of his more than 9 units of his friend. Question, where's 9 units of his friend? 9, 10? Because 9 is everything. We'll soon see the famous Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra was a great mathematician. And the Ibn Ezra proves that the rule of 9s in mathematics tells you that the decimal system is a funny system. It's a decimal system, it's a system of 10, but the mathematical properties of a decimal system rule and rest on the number 9. We'll soon see that the number 9 is the rule of 9, so you don't have a rule of 10s in them. So in a decimal, the Ibn Ezra was a very interesting person. Ibn Ezra was a great mathematician. They're just some one of the incunables, meaning the only incunable, probably not the only, but one of the very few incunables. Incunables are the books printed from the 1450 or ever, from the Gutenberg Bible to the 1500s, very, very rare books. One of the few books that was printed and published in Latin was by the Ibn Ezra, his mathematics. He was a great mathematician. Ibn Ezra loved mathematical riddles. So in one of these riddles, the Maharal will say in a second, in the decimal system, the rule is the rule of 9s, not the rule of 10s. So there is a difference between the 9 and the 10. That's what Ibn Ezra always says. So the Maharal says, you know why? Because 9 is the existence. It's 3 dimensions of 3. I told you 3, but 3 dimensions of 3. This is the cognitive dimensions. The number 10 is always something that wraps it together, that subsumes it, that's the connection to that dimension which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really everything. That's why the 10th is always HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why Oyev Adam Shlod, Yisrael Bitisha Kam Shel Chaveiroi. That's why the number 10 is called, I call it in English, the elusive number 10. Always when you have 10, you realize that the 10 doesn't exist. Let me give you an example. The 10 mamoras of the world was created. The Gemara asks the simple question. There are only 9 times it says Vayomer. So the Gemara says the word Bereshis is also Maimer. It doesn't say Vayomer. Aseres Adibris. There are 10 commandments. But 9 are commandments, do's and don'ts. One is a statement of fact. Anoich Hashem Elokecha. It's a statement of fact. The Aloha is you have a minion. The minion in Aloha we think is 10 people. But if you look in the Gemara says that Tisha ve'oren mitzlarfin. The Gemara says that 9 people and the Oren create a minion. So the Gemara says, what? Aron Gavro? The Oren is a person. So the Gemara says, Tishin nira kiasora mitzlarfin. 9 people that look like 10, a minion. You don't need 10 people. You need 9 people to look like 10. The Gemara has a shaila. How do 9 people look like 10? So one man, the Omer, says, like they're Jewish, when they are mixed together, so then if they are all over the place, 9 look like 10, so then you don't need 10 people. Or if the other man, the Omer, says, no, only if the 9 people are very set aside that you could see, but if they are walking all over, then you need 10. But the Aloha is, and the Gross says, what does he have to do, 9 people that look like 10 in the minion? How does it fit to the word Oren? So the Gross says, because the word Oren is really a Rosh HaTevis, it's an acronym. Echad Roye Veino Nire. Somebody who sees but cannot be seen. which means God. That's why the Rama says the minhag that people have a cotton with a chumash, because the Tein is God. It's the God that puts it all together, that makes it a unit. He's the one that not only connect to God, you are subsuming to God. God creates a unit, makes the sense. He's the one that holds everything in. Give you another example. I tell you, every single das that the Ten makis. You never find 10 things that the 10 are equal. Always the 10, the 10th is elusive. The 10 makas. Always done by Moshe Aharon. The 10th makas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'chvoydo yu be'atzmi makas b'choyer zanyad bi'i v'lo shaliyach anihu v'lo yachar. 10 generations, if you look at it. By the way, the 10 nisyonis of Avraham Avinu, the last nisyon is the Akedah, which is totally different from the other Akedahs. That is the greatest and the Moshe, the Mishnah, if you look in Torah Shebal Peh, the development of Torah Shebal Peh, that 10 generations of the development. Torah Shebal Peh was developed in 10 generations. The Mishnah says, right? And Rav David Tzvihat, Mishnah Rishona says, you see that. You have Shimon HaTzadik, Antignush Issocho. And then he has 5 Zugas, that's 7. You have Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. You have the 5 Talmidim, which is the 5 Talmidim, Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar, etc. That's 9. Who is the 10th? The 10th is Rebbe Kiva, because that's the Akdomah to the Mishnah Rebbe Kiva, what the Mishnah never says. Because Rebbe Kiva is Keneged HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We know that Rebbe Kiva is very interesting. We know that they are Asora Harugi Malchus. I'm telling you, always in every single aspect, when they are 10, 9 makes sense, and the 10th is elusive. They are Asora Harugi Malchus. Asks the Zohar, the what you call that with the kinnis and also the slichas that we see in Yom Kippur, explain that we have the 10 asar of Gemalchus are connected. What? The 10 brothers of Yosef, the son Yosef. Ask the Zohar, they were not 10 brothers, they were only 9 brothers. Why? Because Yosef was old, Binyamin wasn't there, and Reuven wasn't there. So they're only 9. So says the Zohar, the 10th one is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because they, like Rashi says, they were mashbiya. They brought HaKadosh Baruch Hu into them, and they didn't allow HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they bound HaKadosh Baruch Hu not to answer. So the 10th is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who is Keneged? The word 10 people who died al Kiddush Hashem for the 10 Aruge Malchus. Who is the 10th, which is Keneged HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Says the Zohar is Rebbe Kiva. Because Rebbe Kiva was a Ben Gerim, so he didn't even belong. I mean, he didn't fit there. Kol asher yavor tachat hashevet, hasiri yekoidesh l'shem, hasiri yekoidesh l'shem, is Rebbe Kiva. And Rebbe Kiva is the one, so the Chidosh says, why Davka Rebbe Kiva? Because Rebbe Kiva is the one that Shimon Amsoi Nidarsh and every Eish Shabbat Torah is Hashem Lokei Chatira v'chulei, until he got, Eish Kabedes Avicha v'simecha, Eish L'Rabu Yisachicha God, the word Eish come to add something, until he got to the post of Eish Hashem Lokei Chatira, he didn't have who to add, until Rebbe Kiva says, So Tamidei Chachomim come to be marred by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rebbe Kiva took that upon himself, and he was an extension of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he died for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that Rebbe Kiva, therefore, is not counted. In the 10 generations of Torah Shebal Peh, Rebbe Kiva is elusive, because the number 10 is always elusive. Says the Maral, why? Because 9 is the physical dimensions. 10th is the connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he puts it all together and he subsumes it all together. That's the subsuming of everything all together. That is the number 10. If you look at it on those things, it's important to know that the connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we have, the number 7, you connect HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The number 10, you are subsumed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These are the two Giluim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One is called Memale Kol Almin, and one is called Soyev Kol Almin. The Memale Kol Almin is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here with us, and we connect to him. The Soyev Kol Almin is that he puts it all together, and we are within HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu surrounds us. We are entities, not connected to him, we enacted entities within him. That's the issue and the highest madrega, and that's the madrega of the number 10. Okay? Is that clear? So therefore, the number 10 is always a beetle of what's there. You don't talk, you don't hear. That's the beetle of Vasta Kodesh Boch. It's that connection of beetle with Kodesh Boch. By the way, the two of them, and we saw that on Shabbos, the Baal HaTanya always says the way how in practical terms, the number seventh is always Torah. Torah, you learn and you connect a Kodesh Boch, you could understand, you see a Kodesh Boch is with you, he fills you in. That's why Torah is called Mozing. Mitzvahs, they surround us. You don't feel the mitzvah, but the mitzvah is binds you, right? The Isurim, you cannot do it, it surrounds you. That is the concept of mitzvah. That's why mitzvahs are called the clothing. They're called the Malbushim. On the Mishkan, and we saw that, that's the Mishkan, can negate the structure of the Mishkan that surrounds you. That's K'biyocha, the number 10. K'neged, the kelim that you use, that you connect, is the number 7. That's so why the 7th K'niyah Menorah.
How can we experience number 10?
The number 10,
we can experience Shabbos.
The number 10 is the idea is that whenever you are successful in your life, you give a mindset and you realize that my success is a Kodesh Baruch Hu. I could do, I could try, I have to try, but giving mindset, that is the recognition. Oh, that's why mindset is such an important thing, that all the possessions, the success, the number 10 belongs to Kodesh Baruch Hu.
So why has to be precise?
Because it has to be number 10. In other words, has to be a number 10. It has to not be approximate. This is something, it's scientific. It has to be the number 10. We are going to see a little bit more, but you'll see how then there is a higher form of connection. But this is the highest form that Kodesh Baruch Hu surrounds you. You're subsumed by Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's the concept of bitochen and ishtadlus. There is one bitochen, which is in a lower level, Kodesh Baruch Hu is your partner. There is one bitochen that says, you know, something, it's not that we are partners, he makes me who I am. That's a number 10. It's not that you're connecting to him, he makes you who you are. He's the one that puts it all together. He's the one that subsumes you. Very much deeper. That's number 10.
Because Bachar Shemon Esrei, so you have all those reasons, but the conclusion is Magen Avraham, Magen is surrounded.
It's surrounded. You realize, by the way, there are three. We'll go and see, but it's always, this is a recurring theme, because this is the connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are going to see, in the end, what I'm trying to explain, that's my idea, that Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum, that we say, is connected these three Madregas that you're going to see, the number 7, 10, and 13, is Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum. Those are the two Gilum that you see from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the way how we express the names, that's how we connect, that's how all life is all about. But now we're the number 10. So the number 10 is this higher Madrega. This is the Madrega that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not that we connect, he subsumes everything, he's Mevatel everything. He's the one who, we are not partners with him, we are only there because of him. Much higher than number 7. Okay, so the 7 is always connected to something physical. The number 10 takes away from the physical. Tells you that there is no physical. Meaning you just have to recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that surrounds me. I am within him. It's not that I'm connected to him. I'm part of him. Much higher in Madrega. Much higher level. Much higher level of connection. Now, let me just see. We're going to skip a little bit. Okay. If you want to see on the same page.
Rabbi, I'm confused about one thing. We have Shabbos, we know, set, and we went over that, and it's beautiful. But why isn't there a 10 with Shabbos?
Because you see that Shabbos, okay, Shabbos is, there is 110. Where is the Shabbos, which is called Shabbos Shabbosin? Shabbos is 10. 7, I'm sorry. There is a Shabbos Shabbosin Yom Kippur. And what is the defining moment of Yom Kippur? Shabbos Shabbosin is Yom Kippur. So the Shabbos of the Shabbos that you could experience is that. What is the Chiddush of Yom Kippur? The Chiddush of Yom Kippur is Achas Bashana. That the world of spiritual and physical are not separate. Is one thing. We are like Malachi Ashores. That's why the post says Achas Bashana. Even though we know it's Achas Bashana. We know, as an example, on Yom Kippur, you put the 7, Azois, Achas Lemala, and Sheva Lemata. There is a Madrega above the 7. That's it. That's what you're experiencing in Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is that experience. That's why it's the 10th day of the month. That is Yom Kippur. So Shabbos, Shabbos is Yom Kippur. Now that Madrigal of 10.
Whoever eats on Erev, Yom Kippur says a few fasts, right?
Absolutely, which is so interesting, right? Exactly, the number 9 is the totality, and that's the eating of Yom Kippur. Now, all of this, the idea of Yom Kippur, that's why you're going to see that, and I'm going to tell you just a little thing so interesting. What is the day connected Yom Kippur?
Purim.
It's Purim. Kippurim. But listen something interesting on Purim. Every Aliyah, every time you read the Torah, how many psukim you have to read?
It's only
10. Always 10. There's only one, no, not in Kippur, there's Purim. Only one time, Purim, you read only 9 psukim. Mishnah Berurah tries to say why we read only 9 psukim Purim. Because the idea is the following. The way how to battle against Amalek. Amalek is the ultimate distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Shabbos is not enough. Our idea is to say HaKadosh, the number 9 HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here. We don't have to connect to number 9. The number 9, the number 10, the number 10 is within the 9. He's the one to put it together. So that's Yom Kippur. That's Yom Purim is the counterpart of Yom Kippur. It's the opposite of Yom Kippur. Yom Purim, right? Because that's Amalek that wanted to separate the Jews. And we create the tikkun is to read 9 psukim to say that the 9 has the number 10 hidden within it. That the number 10 is within the 9. You don't need to connect the 9 to the 10. The 9 is connected by the number 10.
This is why there's not Hashem in the Megillah.
That's why there's no Hashem in the Megillah. Because Hashem in the Megillah, Hashem is the Megillah. Megillah, what's Megillah? Meloshen, David Srasem always says Megale. He's revealing that here it is. It's all Kadosh Baruch Hu. When it says Hamelech, Achashverosh is Hamelech, is who? It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, that is the Madrig of the number 10. It's the counterpart. So the Tikkun of Purim is Yom Kippurim. And that's why all of the ideas of Purim is the idea of Achdus. Liminas communitas. All Achdus. Because to show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that's Me'achad everything. That's the ultimate Achdus, ultimate Ichud, the number 10. This is the number 10 within the number 9, which is the Tikkun Bamolek, which is exactly the Stira. So when do we experience in Shabbos Shabbosin? That's the number 10 of Yom Kippur. That we are like Malachi Ashporos. We say, Baruch Shem Kvoid Malchus Olelam Voed Bekol Ram, because then it's not hidden. Okay, that's the experience. Okay? So let's read the Maral. The Maral says that clearly. This is on the same page. It's 4 lines on the bottom. The chiluk, the separation, the separateness, only gets to number 9. Always the division and separation comes to the number 9. He says, in a 3-dimensional world, makes sense. Because every single thing has width, length, and depth. We call cherub is chalek l'shloisha, and every one with the dimension is also divided by 3. He called dover ishla schol, ishla emz, ishla sof, because every dimension has beginning and a middle. So, in other words, the world is a 3-dimensional world of 3 dimensions. So, if you look at depth, length, and width, there are 3 parts to it, 3 dimensions to it. And I always say the following: if you look at something, if you look at the time-space continuum, we have 3 dimensions of time, which is past, present, future, and 3 dimensions of space. For every dimension of space, you have 3 dimensions of time and vice versa, so the dimensions of the world is only 9. That's how Shmoku created. Therefore, every space is divided by 9. Omnam ha'asiri, says the Maral, who can neged b'chinacher, the 10th is always separate and different. That is the ability to unify everything together. The whole dover boilam tim tzakach, and says the Maral, if you want to know that is every single thing in the world is like that. Ki odem itzad mashu echad shu odem echad. See, odem has odem, the shem odem that puts it together, and then the achalokim. Vichach mispar teg neged b'chinas achalokim, the individual component is 9. Echelek ha'asiri ke neged akol shu achdus b'tzad shen kan chiluk. That's the total achdus that you're subsumed. The ficha chasiri that subsumes it and puts it together, who koidesh l'Hashem izborach, chasiri tzad shu echad, ve'u mitzad ha'poel shu echad. It's the one, and mitzad ha'kudosh boch hu, which is the poel echad, ve'la rov yasir shu mitzad ha'poel. Okay? Gam bishvil ze ha'asiri shu keneged ha'poel. Therefore, the tenth, because it's keneged ha'kudosh baruch hu, shu echad, nechshav ha'kol. That is everything. It's not only that unified. That turns everything. Ki echad hu ha'kol kasher ein zu losay. The tenth is everything. There's nothing but that. And therefore, ha'roi she'itan ha'asir la'shev izbor ha'shu keneged ha'poel shu echad baruch hu. Ein lech beze berak. Okay, we don't have to go. Now he says like this, and now skip the lines, and by the end of the paragraph, three lines before the end of the paragraph, four lines, I'm sorry. He wants to go into analyze number nine. Every number only reached nine. Mm-hmm. If you put the numbers, all the numerals, in a circle, you realize that within nine, you close the circle. The number nine in a circle. If you take nine against nine, you take the nine times nine, vehem pe aleph is 81. So just think about it, right? 81, you put the eight on one side and the one on the other side. Vine timtza aleph ches liyomin ve'echad, what you call it, vine timtza aleph ches liyomin echad ubismol ches. So you have one and eight, right? One on the right, eight on the left. Vehem, base, zayin, pamachas. So you realize that if you have the one and the eight, so then you go ahead and you could do a hit that's a little different. But if you hit it times the next one times two, right? You, nine times nine is 81. Now you take nine times eight, it's 72. So it's now the 8 go to 72. The 9 times 7 is 63. So you could take the 9 and hitting all the numbers, you realize that all the numbers will come out, right? Because then 9 times 6 is 54, 5 and 4. 9 times 5 is 45. Now you split. So you could create all the numbers just by the number 9. Hitting the 9 within its own multiples, you create all the numbers. Because the 9, that's the rule of 9s. So he says Ibn Ezra, you see that the nines are the numbers that create everything. Okay, be sure ahead. Talk even if you just don't go. If you want to go, you could chazer. That's why is the concept of the number 10. This is one aspect, which is a deeper sense. We are going to see that there is one more, which is the number 13. And the number 13 is a deeper sense of the number 10. 4, 7, 10. Now we're going to see 13. So let's go skip to the next page. And that's that. The one who I'm going to use, this is a sefer by Rabbi Shimshon Pinkus. Shimshon Pinkus was a Mashgiach of Ofakim, was a very special person. And he wrote a sefer called Birkas Becheshbon, the Brocha of the Cheshbon. And he's a Pirush on the Echad Miyodea. He wrote a Pirush on the Echad Miyodea. And now he goes to explain all the numbers, and this is on the number 13. That's the tachlis of the numbers. What's shloshesre? Vekach echad, the word echad, begimatria, is also 13. Shekam nizgala echad beyofioi. The number, I told you, the number 10 creates unity. But the ultimate unity, the ineffable unity, that's the number 13. Vitzorich bio. Now, the question is, how does that fit in with what we just learned? Sharei nemar she'esru shlemas ha'mispor. Didn't we just learn that the 10 is the one that puts all the numbers together? So where does the 13 fit in? In a base 10 number. Asiru kodesh l'Hashem im ken ma'u 13. So what's the number 13? V'yesh kan avona amuka v'niflua. There is something very special and very deep. The emes tachlis ha'misporim u'eser. The tachlis ha'misporim is really 10. Gam 13 bonin asades. And the 13 is also a form of the number 10. El asher niflua shel eser. But to be able to appreciate the 10, the number 13, it's a deeper dimension of the number 10. So it's really only 10 numbers. But the number 13 shows you a deeper sense of the number 10. What's 10? 10 is putting it together. The idea is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu subsumes everything. If you always look at the number 10 is divided into two basic components. And Mike, I can tell what the two components are. Sheva v'shalosh, the number 10, 7, number 10, number 3. Right? 7 and 3 create the number 10. The 7 and the 3, in essence, is like the neshama and the guf. The guf is the number 7, which is the physical connected to the spiritual, and the neshama that shines light, in Chazal this is called the moichin, is the number 3. So together, when the moyach gives you, in other words, you connect, the moyach gives you a dimension that you're not really connecting yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The 7 is the physical world, is the 6 dimensions of the physical and the 7th dimension of the spiritual within the physical. That is kibayochal hashgocha, the hashgocha within the world. And then there is above that 3 deeper sense. Halemala minateva washmini. And the 3 were above, right? Above the 7. The number 8, it's Kobina. That's the so 7 is the nature, the physical nature, right? 6 dimensions connected to a Hashgocha. 8 is that world of Lemala Minateva. Gilui Kvoid is Boro Bechol Nivro Achi. The number 9 is that Gilui of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in every creature. It's called Mechazal Chochma. Ve'asiru Kodesh. And the 10th is Kodesh, Maimer HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chol davar. That is the Kodesh, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Maimer in every single thing. So if you look at the number 10, the number 10 is taking the physical to a dimension that you're subsumed in the world of spiritual. That takes it a much deeper sense in the world of spiritual. Shalosh b'chinot p'nimiyon. Misha shechelik yegluyot im shiva v'chelik yegluyot im shiva. So what comes out like this? That in the world, in the physical sense, 3, 7 is the physical world. That's very golui, that's clear and experience that you could see. 3 is something that you could understand, you don't see. That's why the number 10, you only experience once a year in Yom Kippur. You don't experience every time. Because it's not something that you can experience, not something that you can relate. 7 is the world of physical. And let me explain to you. This is Shnai Mikra Vechatargum, which I explained to you a while before. Now you understand how this means. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Shnai Mikra, the Shnai Mikra, the Chumash, is the Shmuisa Shla HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We said that this Shnai Mikra Vechatargum is Merumas of the word Shmuis. Shnai Mikra Vechatargum means that twice reading the Pasuk and one you translate. We spoke with Rabbi Yaakov Kaminetsky because once you just read and just a kriya, and the second time you learn it and you translate, which is the understanding. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you see, always there's two names, Hashem, Hashem. There's two names of Hashem. Always Hashem's name is repeated. So in the one way is here that you could experience HaKadosh Baruch Hu in two madrigas. One of them is understanding in the world of physical, Targum. And then one, which is a deeper experience that you could relate to, but not really understand it. Yom Kippur, you get to do it. But that's not something that you can see every day. So it's Targum 7, Mikra 3. But those are cognitive ways. I told you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu lives with us, and then there was a experience HaKadosh Baruch Hu subsumes us. We live within the Kodesh Baruch.
This is Targum 7 Mikra 3.
Because Targum is something that you understand. It's something seven? Because that's the world of physical that you relate to it. In other words, the world of physical is the world that you experience every Shabbos. That you live here and you relate. Kodesh Baruch is Mashgiach, Hashgacha Protis. We all can understand. It's something very understood. The fact that Kodesh Baruch is everything. He is Me'ached everything. He's the one that really puts it all together. Yom Kippur you can experience, but you can experience every day. So you could hear, you could listen to it, but you can't really understand. Can you give an example? Yom Kippur, it says like this in the pasuk: Yomim Yutzaru, many days are created, velo echad bayim. So the way how it's written in the Chumash, it says velo with an aleph, not one of them belongs to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Meaning many days are created, but nothing belongs to Kodesh Baruch Hu. We all live here in our own bluff that we think that we do it. In Torah Shebal Peh, the tradition is to read the word veloy with a vav, which means to say many days are created, and to him, echad bohem, echad. Which day is the echad? Is Yom Kippurim. That's what the Tzimtzum says. And the question is, lechora, the pasuk is written one way, and the pasuk is read in an opposite way. How can you have the decree tells you loy with an aleph, with a vav, and the ksiv is loy with an aleph? Lechora, there's a contradiction between the way how it's read and between the way how it's written. So I remember hearing from Rav Shmuel Fischer something gewaldic, and he says this, you should know that there are many instances where the pasuk writes with an aleph and we read with a vav. One of them we say in Mizmor Lesoida every day, velo anachnu. Velo anachnu, it's written with an aleph and is read with a vav. He says there's only one place the Gemara asks that. The Gemara asks that on Bais Areichoima, in Bat Areichoima. It says in the pasuk, Bait Beir Asher Lo Choma. It says a house in a city that does not have a wall. But Chazal tell you that you have to read with a vav to say a house in a city which has a wall. But the Gemara says, there the Gemara Megillah asks, it says loy with an aleph, and you read with a vav. How is it possible? The Gemara tells you, a pshara, is to tell you that even though it doesn't have now a wall, if it had a wall in the time of Yeshua, that's enough. So veloy with an aleph, it doesn't have now, but veloy with a vav, it had once upon a time in the time of Yeshua, it's enough. The question is on second. What kind of pshar? This is like a Jewish pshar. It doesn't make any sense. So Rav Shmuel Fischer, I heard from him, he says something givaldic. And he says, if you look at the Maral, the Maral always says, whatever is written to Rosh Beksav is written, relates to the world which is visual, that you could see. That's why it's written. The Torah Shebal Peh relates to something that you might not be able to see, but you might be able to understand. It's not see, it's not visual, it's not tangible, but it's understood. Oilam Haba. Oilam Haba cannot be written. That's the Maral. It says cannot be written to Shebechsav, because you can't visualize, it's not tangible. But you could hear such a thing. You can't understand, but you could hear. That's what the Gemara says. How can you have a wall that's a virtual wall? That in Torah Shebechsav, the wall doesn't exist. But on Torah Shebal Peh, it does exist. It's a wall that doesn't exist today, but if you go to the library, you'll find out that it did exist. So it's a wall that doesn't exist now. So that's why today says no. That's why Mizmor Lesoida says, Veloy anachnu utan aleph, and we read it above. Because what does that mean? It means that we know that Mizmor Lesoida was says by Bai Sheni. When it came to build Bai Sheni, they said Mizmor Lesoida. When they built Bai Sheni, it was very funny, because if you look in a tangible world, we didn't belong to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because we still have the Ahasuerus on that, meaning in the time of Bai Sheni, in the second Commonwealth, we didn't have independence. The Persian kings gave us, they gave us the permission to build the Beis HaMikdash, so we came to build under their permission. So if you look in the tangible, visual world, we didn't belong to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's Veloy Anachnu Utan Aleph. But if you hear behind the scene, you realize Veloy Anachnu. Yom Kippur is exactly the same. If you look at your visual eyes in the tangible world, Yom Kippur is exactly like every other day. But Yom Kippur, you could hear that we belong to Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's why Yom Kippur, it says, in Torah Shebichsav, there is not one day that you could experience number 10. When Yom Kippur, you could, yes, experience it. That's a day that you could see, you could experience not visually, you could hear it. And that's why I'm saying, the Shnai Mikar Vecha Targum is exactly that. The Targum that you could understand, that's very clear. That is the number 7. Something that you could hear, but you can't see, is the Mikra and Targum. But you're going to see that there is a Mikra of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that is not that you learn, it's something that you read. But you cannot connect. That's the connection, which is the deep connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you realize that life doesn't exist, it's all here. That the more you feel you want to just leave the world is a world of experience, is the world of connection to that mystical connection, that ineffable connection, and that is a very inner experience. And that's the experience of the number 13, is the experience to that, that we connect to Kodesh Boch in that very mystical form, the famous I and Thou of Martin Buber, that all the Hasidim always talk about it. That your tefillah has to connect. Not that you connect the Kodesh Boch in the physical, the Kodesh Boch is your partner. Not that Kodesh Boch subsumes it, but there is no life besides the Kodesh Boch. It's that feeling of connection with the Pintali, that you're ready to give all your life, called Sanafshi, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to tell you, I want you to stay alive. Bal Korchach Atachai. The Bal Korchach Atachai is that feeling. That's the feeling of the Echo, that's the feeling of the 13, that we'll see Mersham in 2 weeks. That is the highest form of Ichud. And that's your Gimel Midas. You give Midas into the opposites. Always the Yud Gimel. When the opposites are there. Shneik suvi mamakhishim zedze. What is the 13 midos rachamim? Nake loye nake. Right? It's always that. Because the opposites can be together. Because there are no opposites. There is nothing. It's the bitul hayesh.
What's the source of 13 being a jinx number?
Now, the 13 a jinx number, I'm going to tell you, and then you'll see something givaldic. 13 is a jinx number, is because Jesus, in his last meal, had 13 people. There were the 12 disciples and him. But it's so funny, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, guys, the ultimate ichud is the 13. The 13 is that bitul, the chassidim, always. By the way, this is an avoid of all the chassidim and everybody, that you have to try to experience this klois hanefesh, that very mystical, very essential, very subconscious connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you have. That's something called the chaya, that we, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our source of life. That's the drop of indestructible life and etc. Dafka by Jesus, which was the ribui of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, such that the human, that the shituf, the Kenegetze is the 13, which is the total Bito. But it became a very unlucky number because the last meal of Jesus were 13 people, the 12 disciples and Jesus. Right? So which means the Chazak, Kadosh Baruch Hu made it dafka, that this thing becomes the 13, and we're going to see the 13 is this Midos Sharachavim. This is the highest form. So we're going to see that in next, that is the Hashem, which there's no Targum. We don't learn, we speak. That's Posik Taima. That's the Hashem, which is higher than anything that you can. That's the Klois HaNefesh, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only existence. That is something the person can have this feeling, but the person who has that feeling has always to pull himself back. So that's why the Tanya and all the Sefer, they say that this Havas Hashem, which is the first Hashem, which is the number 10, is called Kesef. It's Kesef. Nichsefav gam kol sanav, like silver. But then there is a Hava, which is the Zohav. Zohav is the one that you burn yourself to. The self-destruction, the destruction of everything. And that's Zohav, right? And that Ahava is the greatest Ahava, which is the Ahava. A person can have the Klois HaNefesh when a person is in touch with his inner, deeper, innermost feelings. A person can access that. We're going to see Mirat Hashem. We'll see that this is the concept of Shabbos. And that's, we'll see that that's what he's going to explain between the 10 and 13. 10 is called the Das HaTachtoin, and 13 is called the Das HaElyon. So in other words, the number 10 can be experienced in two ways, as a number 10 or in a higher form as the number 13. And this we'll see Mirat Hashem in 2 weeks, that you would see the 13 is the number 10 B'madura Tinyon. And the highest form, the number 10, is the number 13. Number 10 we experience every time in Yom Kippur. The number 13 we only experience, but that's why in Yom Kippur we have this idea of saying Yud Gimel Midos Rachamim all the time. And you should know something. This feeling that I always tell people, and that this is, even as a kid, where and what time in Yom Kippur should you experience that? the number 13 needle. I'm telling you, every Jew can experience it. That's why you repeat your Gimel Midas all the time in number 13. That's the only tefillah that we keep repeating with Gimel Midas. And you should be able to experience this. This is the greatest gift. I'm going to tell you something. I always tell the story, right? What's his name? I have to remember his name in a second. Who is the famous guy? No, the famous Jewish philosopher?
Heschel?
No, not Heschel.
Rosenzweig.
Yes, Rosenzweig.
And Yom Kippur.
Franz Rosenzweig, yes. I'll tell you the story of Franz Rosenzweig. He is a guy, you know the story?
Yeah.
And I have his biography. He never wrote his biography because he is, Frank Rosenzweig is, I'm such a fan of his. He was a Jewish philosopher. He was a guy who wrote a lot on Christianity. Look, let's talk about the 13. I always say it's such ironic because he wrote on Christianity. He wrote on Christianity, a lot of philosophy on Christianity. Franz Rosenzweig wanted to become, and I'll tell you something, very funny in a second. Okay, he wanted to become Christian. So he decided to become Christian in Berlin. So he goes to his mother and tells his mother he's going to become Christian. So his mother said, you know something? Yes. But tomorrow is Yom Kippur. After Yom Kippur, you become Christian. So Franz Rosenzweig decided to go to Schulm. And there was no Schulm next to his houses in Berlin, so he went to Frum Schulm. And he went to Yom Kippur. And after Ne'ilah, he says, I can't become Christian anymore. He becomes a Frum Jew. And he has very funny, who does he have? I thought this is so ironic, because he never wrote, but his biographer says, if you don't know, Franz Rosenzweig became Jewish because of Yom Kippur, because of this feeling. Mm-hmm. And who does he write? And his famous letters, I remember, Yosef Chaim Yerushalmi was with Martin Buber. Mm-hmm. Because Martin Buber is the master of the I and Thou. I and Thou is that feeling that Martin Buber learned from the Hasidim, that you achieve this Yud Gimel, and this is what made Franz Rosenzweig Rifrum. And the Machlokes, if you see, they have many letters. We went after Yosef Chaim Yerushalmi, the first Jewish Yisroel University. I was his student. And we went through the letters of Franz Rosenzweig. Because he has a correspondence, very interesting, with Martin Buber. Because Martin Buber was of the view that the Yiddishkeit is this. The I and thou feeling is Yiddishkeit. He learns from the Chassidim. The Franz Rosenzweig said, that's not enough. You need ritual, you need mitzvahs, you need everything else. Because once you reach that, he thought that that's it. You're just a Jew in the feeling, and that's enough. And that's the whole discussion of them. But interestingly enough, he got so attracted because this is what he came from. That's it. And he became, this is how he got out of Christianity. And it's very funny. That's why that on Yom Kippur Ne'ilah, you repeat your Gimel Midas again and again and again. Our Minhag Ashkenazim is that we don't say, we say Gimel Midas, regular slichas called Nidre, but the one that you just keep repeating Yud Gimel Midas is that, because then is when you can experience this Yud Gimel, which we will learn in two weeks, that this is the highest form, innate form of unity, which is taking this into the highest level. Shabbos, Shabbosin, and then Ne'ilas Hashiorim. That's it.
Thank you.